The following is a teaching message from the chapel in Te Aritu. For more information about the chapel, please visit www.thechapel.org.nz.
It was only a few days before his death when Jesus declared, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." "Very truly," he said, "very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, but anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. And my Father will honour the one who serves me." Some of these statements are so much easier looking back from the side of the cross, because I wonder how confusing some of these statements were to the disciples, who really hadn't grasped what lay ahead. A few days later, with Jesus now in the Garden of Gethsemane, we're told that going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." If you ever struggle with the will of God, you're not alone. You know, we have a pretty easy life here in New Zealand. In spite of the things that cause us great concern, there's some days I just don't bother watching the news. It's like, really? Not because of what's actually happening, but because of the way it's often portrayed. But in spite of the many things that cause us concern, out of 195 countries around the world, we come out pretty good on so many different measures. However, there are, and still will be, many times when choosing to follow Jesus will cost us. For most of the disciples, it cost them their lives, literally. They served out their lives and they died as martyrs at various places around that area. For the rich young man that we read about in Matthew, the cost that Jesus said to him was, "Go sell all your possessions and give to the poor." And I've heard this passage preached on, that therefore we should all do that. No, that's what Jesus required of this rich young ruler, of this young man. Because for some that might be relatively easy. If you haven't got much, it's not hard to go sell and give it all to the poor. He may require something else from you. Every calling and every promise comes with a price. In Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Again, I just wonder at how they processed that. Because this is before Jesus died on the cross. This is when the cross was still a symbol of Roman suffering and persecution, of Roman inhumanity. And so it probably shocked them even more. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses it for my sake will find it. And so on Friday, we pause to remember just a little of what it was that Jesus laid down on the cross for us. In fact, he gave more than we could possibly imagine. Back in Philippians, we're told that Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but he made himself nothing. He was God. He had spent eternity with the Father. And he chose to make himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And just when you think you've got an understanding of how far Jesus went, how much Jesus gave up, Paul says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He didn't just take my sin. He didn't take my sin on his shoulders. He took my sin into his very being, and your sin, and the sin of every person who has ever lived, was taken into his very flesh. And as we sang, or as we listened to the music video on Friday, nothing you can do could make him love you more. And nothing that you've done could make him close the door. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done. Everything was done so that you would come to the Father. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become not just better, that we might become his righteousness. And so moments before he surrendered his spirits in the hand of the Father, he declared, "It is finished." Everything that he was sent to do on earth in the natural, Paul puts it this way. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of your sins, having cancelled the charge of the legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, okay, he didn't just die for you, he disarmed the power and authorities, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. There was a lot more going on than you see if you simply read the story. Everything that needed to be done was done. It was finished. Then and there on the cross, forgiveness, reconciliation, healing, and freedom. But talk is cheap. Because anyone could say how meaningful their life has been and how meaningful their death will be. So God gave convincing proof that Jesus was truly the one and only Son of God. That he was truly the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so on that first day of the week, God raised him up to life. But God didn't just bring him back to life. God raised him up so much more. There's a prayer that I've been praying as a blessing over this congregation in recent weeks. And I come back to it again. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So on resurrection morning, God didn't just bring Jesus back to life. The stone wasn't moved. You know, I used to think when I was a little kiddie, man, God must be strong. He rolled the stone away. No, that was the easy bit. And God didn't roll the stone away so Jesus could get out. He rolled the stone away that we could see in and see the truth of what God was beginning to do. And the work that began that morning saw Jesus lifted up from the depths of the grave and placed, seated high, at the right hand of the throne of God, far above. Not just above, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is in, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet. We've got to understand how far Jesus was lifted up. and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. You know, I have prayed this prayer over you so many times recently. I have read it so many times over the years, and I spotted one word in here that I don't think I've ever quite noticed before. It's that one there. Why did he do this? He did it for the church. Do you get that? God did that for us. Not just as an individual, he did it for the church. God raised Jesus up, and God set Jesus at the right hand, at his right hand, and he placed him far above all rule and authority, and he gave him the name that is above every other name. He gave him the highest power and authority, and he did this for the church. And so I come back to my question. If God did this to Jesus for the church, and so I come back to the question I've been asking, why would we, how could we, how dare we settle for less than life in all its fullness? How could we settle for less than what God has for us, what God calls us to, when he has gone so far for us? And so when Jesus hung on the cross and he declared, "It is finished," his work was done and ours was just beginning. In the upper room, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." Does the church come up short? Read the Gospels. See what Jesus did. Does the church come up short? When were we doing even greater things than these? Well, in a sense, we have. Because Jesus travelled throughout Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And the church has taken the gospel to the ends of the earth. But I kind of feel it would be easy to gather here on a Sunday and somehow go, "We've arrived." And it's like, we haven't arrived. His work was coming to the end, or had come to an end. Ours was just starting. And he did what he did for the church, because the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that was manifest in his life throughout his time on earth, Jesus said, "That power is to be yours. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And it doesn't say, "And you'll go and do evangelism." You know, the empty tomb stands as a witness to the resurrection. When the world sees the power of God at work in your life and through your life, that bears witness to the risen Jesus. It's not just go and tell everyone about Jesus. It's go and live out the gospel in its fullness and its power. And so a short time later, Jesus will stand about the same spot, probably at the same time. It was probably said at the same time that he said, "You will receive power." He said, "All authority in heaven and earth and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." And again, it's not go and get people to make decisions. It says, go and make disciples. A disciple is one who follows Jesus. It's so much more than making a decision to make sure you get to heaven one day and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you to the end of the age. On Friday, everything, the life and death of Jesus, everything was done so that we would come to the Father. And on the resurrection morning and in the days that followed, everything was done so that we would go to the world. For some, that may be to a distant land. Next week we've got Anthony coming from Zambia. A few weeks ago we had Mark and Katrina from Laos. So some may be called to distant places. But for most of us, it's actually simply being called from the place where we are comfortable. Because where we are comfortable is not where the other people are who are struggling and hurting. And if Jesus can go so far for us, then he calls us to the same example, to follow his example. That we're not above anything that he might ask of us as we manifest that same love in the world in which we live. I mean, stepping out in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus did and what God has called us and sent us to do. To take the gospel of reconciliation to those who are still far from him. But most of those that he sends us to are within arm's reach of us. Maybe down the street, maybe across the road. Maybe around the lunch table at work or across the playfield at school. Living life wherever you go, in the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, discovering who you are in Christ, realizing the gifts that he has given you, realizing the passion that he has placed within you, and living in that power and living in that passion, living to that purpose. For we are God's handiwork. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Not some of us, not the one standing at the front, not the two lovely folk operating the sound down the back. All of us were created. And part of our life mission is to discover every day what God has for us that day, and to do it. On Friday, you'll see, if those of you weren't here, we have some leaves. That was our stretch from the Garden of Eden to heaven on Friday. So if you weren't here on Friday, you missed the Garden of Eden to heaven. But there's a tree of life in the garden, and that flow of the river writes through history. And in heaven, it is that stream that flows from under the throne of God, and alongside the river are the tree of life, whose fruit sustains life and whose leaves are for the healing of the nation. And so we took the opportunity to take a leaf, or some of us needed a few more than one leaf, and to write on it the things that we wanted to leave behind, and to bring it and lay it at the foot of the cross. In a sense, it was symbolic, but God knows what our heart's saying in those moments. We left those things. We talked about those things that the sin that so easily entangles, and those other things that hinder us, the things that trip us up. And we brought them and we said, these are the things that have been holding us back, God. We lay them at the foot of the cross. And we're told that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We laid them at the cross. The enemy no longer has authority over us. Tana won't mind me correcting him a little bit. When he said, I'm a sinner, no, we still sin. But that is not who we are. When we come to Christ, we are forgiven, we are healed, we are restored. We are clothed in his righteousness. He's exchanged our sin for his righteousness. That is our identity. And I see Christian go, yep. If you want to know about identity, talk to Christian. It's all about who we are in Christ. The enemy no longer has authority over us. We have been set free, and we need to learn to walk. The mention was made earlier about the two walking down the road to Emmaus and Jesus coming alongside. We are free to walk wherever God calls us. And when he prompts you to do something and you're tempted to do as I'm often tempted to do, but God, you know, it's like, no, I left that at the cross. Those things that cause me to stumble and fall, that hold me back, they're no longer obstacles. They're no longer reasons not to obey. You know, a lot of people use this verse so liberally. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, which basically is often taken to mean I can do anything I want to do. And it's like, that's not what Paul said. Paul says, you can do anything God wants you to do. If God calls you, he will empower you. One of my favorite movie scenes of all time, for those of you who are old enough to remember Forrest Gump. And young Forrest Gump's got these calipers on his legs. You know, the run, Forrest, run scene? And I love the fact that it's as he starts to run that the calipers fall off. So many of us are sitting there with these things that have held us back all our lives, and we're sitting there going, God, can you make these things go away so I can run? And I think God says, just start running. Just start running. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so again, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to know, enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. All this was done to equip us and empower us to continue the work of Christ in the world. And so I pray that God will continue to work in you to will and to act in accordance with his good purpose. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Chapel in Te Atatū. For more information about the Chapel, please visit www.thechapel.org.nz or email info@thechapel.org.nz.